Hello, this is Brian Kajagian, Editor-in-Chief of ClassicRockHistory.com. Today's podcast will focus on the experience of seeing Led Zeppelin in the 1970s. Now, we all have a list of bands or artists that we want to see in our lives, or at least wish we had seen in our lives. The four artists standing at the top of my list were Elvis Presley, Jimi Hendrix, The Beatles, and Led Zeppelin. I came really close to seeing Elvis Presley. That is the Elvis Presley of the 1970s, which was nothing like the Elvis Presley of the 50s or 60s. Nonetheless, it would have been really cool to see Elvis Presley. I had a ticket to see him at New York's Nassau Coliseum during the summer of 1977. Yeah, but he died just a couple of weeks before the concert. Being born in 1961, I was too young to see the Beatles, or at least too young to really understand what they were doing. I mean, further complicating the chances of seeing the Beatles was they didn't really tour too much. I'm from the Bronx. I missed my chance in 1964 when they played at Shea Stadium. However, being only 3 years old at the time, I probably would have been more interested in, what flavors of ice cream they served at the stadium than anything else. I have seen Paul McCartney. I have seen Ringo Starr. And while it may not be the Beatles, it's still thrilling to be in the same building as a Beatle and listen to a Beatle sing Beatles songs. Now, I have a few friends that are about 10 years older than me that saw the Beatles. They saw Jimi Hendrix. They saw the Doors. It's interesting to hear them talk about the experiences of seeing those three legendary acts. Supposedly, the crowds at Beatles concerts were so loud that you couldn't even hear the band. And the Beatles shows were also incredibly short. I have also been told that Jim Morrison was usually stoned out of his mind on stage and often completely incoherent. There have also been many stories of his rebellious behavior on stage that often came close to igniting riots. Still, it would have been cool to see the Lizard King standing in a world of psychedelia. I believe Jimi Hendrix and Jimmy Page are the greatest rock and roll guitarists of all time. Rock and roll is not about being clean, articulate, and perfect. Rock and roll is all about being nasty, sloppy, rebellious, and above all, energetic. That was both Jimmy Page and Jimi Hendrix. Both played with incredible heart and soul. Watch any video of Hendrix, and it's apparent within the first few seconds. Now, I'm not taking anything away from his technique because he had unbelievable technique, but it was his energy, his passion, his spirit that defined him. Hendrix is the one act that I wish I had seen that I never did. But the one act that has always stood at the top of my list as the greatest band to see in concert was Led Zeppelin. Now, many have seen them, but more have not. In my case, I was one of the lucky ones. The greatest concert I ever saw in my life was Led Zeppelin at New York's Madison Square Garden at the start of the summer of 1977. It was one of the greatest days in my life. Now, it was never easy to get tickets to see a Led Zeppelin concert. Maybe in 1969, when they were first starting out, it was, but that quickly changed as they became rock gods almost instantly. In the 1970s, New York's Madison Square Garden used to have a box office where you could buy tickets for any event. It was located where the current Amtrak ticket area now stands. The only way one found out about concert tickets going on sale for a concert in the 1970s was either from a newspaper ad or an announcement on the radio. If you wanted a ticket to a concert, you had to stand in line at the hall's ticket windows or a local Ticketron. One had better chances of getting better seats to any concert at Madison Square Garden by going directly to Madison Square Garden's ticket windows. However, these Led Zeppelin shows were mail order only. There was an ad in the New York Daily News with a form that you filled out and mailed in. And that's how me and my friends got our Led Zeppelin tickets. Now, our tickets for Led Zeppelin cost $10.50. Imagine that. We had two seats in the load section, which was the lowest section in the arena. The tickets were red, and they had a complex design printed behind the Led Zeppelin name to help protect against counterfeiting. None of the other concert tickets I ever brought at the Garden had that design embedded in them. These were great seats, not far from the stage, for $10. You know, in the 1970s, concert tickets were affordable for teens. Bands toured to promote albums in which they made their money. Nowadays, in 2024, no one sells music anymore, so a concert ticket serves as a very large portion of a band's income. That's why you have the Rolling Stones charging over $1,000 for lower section seats and over $350 and up for a nosebleed seat in a stadium. I mean, who could afford that? Back in the 1970s, concert going was a way of life, and we saw so many great bands. However, nothing came close to seeing Led Zeppelin. Now, we arrived early for the concert. Led Zeppelin played 6 shows at Madison Square Garden during the month of June in 1977. My friends and I attended the second night on June 8th. The arena, it filled quickly. No one wanted to miss 1 second of a Led Zeppelin concert. Led Zeppelin was not a band you wanted to arrive late for. As the arena clock struck 8 p.m., an incredible roar took over the Garden. My friend and I, we looked at each other like we were about to meet God. We were standing at the gates of heaven, waiting for the doors to swing open. No one band in the world was as big as Led Zeppelin was in 1977. Don't let anyone tell you differently. Pink Floyd, Fleetwood Mac, Yes, Springsteen, they were all huge in 1977. But no one was in the same league as Led Zeppelin. Now, 8 p.m. came and went. The sound of the crowd died down just a bit. I mean, most bands never started on time, especially if there was no opening act. Every few minutes, the crowd would start screaming. This was definitely the loudest crowd I had ever been a part of at a concert. Oh, with every minute that passed, the arena, it just filled with smoke. The smell of marijuana at a concert was as common as the smell of beer-stained floors. No one stopped it. You know, the ushers at sports arenas in the 1970s were old. Or at least, you know, they looked old to 15-year-olds. Nonetheless, there was not really a heavy security presence in the stands. It was pretty much anything goes. Anytime a sound tech walked onto the stage or the sound of an instrument reverberated from someone sound checking, the crowd would go nuts. 8:30 came and went, and still no Led Zeppelin. At 9 p.m., it started to get a bit ugly. 18,000 people facing each other who had been drinking and smoking for hours with nothing to do but wait is going to lead to some problems. But the funny thing is, my friend and I did not care about anything. They could have been dropping bombs on us from a World War I fighter plane, and there was no way we would move. We were waiting for Led Zeppelin. At 9:30 p.m., the lights went down. I distinctly remember looking at the time on the scoreboard clock when the lights went out. I mean, this was such a long time ago. But I have never forgotten that moment when Led Zeppelin was about to hit the stage. It was complete darkness for just a few seconds, but it felt like hours. The crowd was going berserk. Suddenly, in the darkness, the sound of Jimmy Page playing the intro to the song remains the same. It was so hot, we were sweating to death. People are screaming as loud as I've ever heard. But none of that mattered because Jimmy Page is on the stage in the same building as I am playing the intro to the song remains the same. The stage lights flickered on and off quickly in time with every couple of notes during the intro. They were teasing us, giving us only a glimpse of Led Zeppelin for a second at a time. And then, it happens. The full band explodes in unison at the turning point in the introduction, and the lights on the stage are turned all the way up, and bam! Led Zeppelin are roaring through the beginning of the song remains the same, as tight and as loud as a band could be. The energy level in the arena goes nuclear. Don't ever let anybody tell you, don't ever read a comment where people would say things like, Led Zeppelin didn't sound good in concert. I am telling you, it was unbelievable. And on the stage in that white outfit with those long red roses was the almighty Jimmy Page ripping through the guitar parts. Standing to Jimmy Page's right, the ultimate rock god himself, Robert Plant. Bonham is blasting away on the drums, John Paul Jones keeping it all together. And then one of the first mighty, majestic, magical moments of the night occurs. The band reaches the pinnacle of the intro and stops. Robert Plant steps forward and sings, I Had a Dream. Oh my God, I wonder how many people passed out at that moment. I almost did. Now, yes, I know it's a very dramatic retelling, but believe me, it was that dramatic. I mean, we were just kids. It was the 1970s. There was no internet, no MTV. You never saw Led Zeppelin outside of the pictures you viewed on album covers and magazines. Here they were in the flesh, playing the music that had become such a big part of our lives. As, you know, young teenagers, we lived this stuff. Not all teens, but the rock and rollers did. Every Led Zeppelin song played that night was greeted with insane, thunderous applause. Fans knew every song within a millisecond of the starting note. Led Zeppelin played songs from all their albums, from Led Zeppelin 1 to Presence, which was the album they were actually touring to promote. They were on fire when they played Nobody's Fault But Mine and Achilles' Last Stand. These both tracks from their latest album Presence, both tracks that stood as the opening songs on each side of that album. Now, of course, there was the standard long solos from each of the three players in the band. Jimmy Page drove the crowd wild with the bow solo. John Bonham had his standard long drum solo that gave many people a chance to finally hit the bathrooms, including the rest of the band. Same went for John Paul Jones solos. These long solos were common, you know, at concerts in the 1970s. It helped everyone catch their breath, both fans and musicians. The set list for the 1977 tour was great. The band seemed to really understand their audience and the songs that had become fan favorites. I never met a Led Zeppelin fan that did not love the Physical Graffiti album. We had wished they played more songs from that record, but, you know, hearing 10 Years Gone and Sick Again live was just breathtaking. Of course, the album most represented in the concert was their fourth album, The Battle of Evermore, Going to California, Rock and Roll, and obviously Stairway to Heaven were all performed that night. It's funny, but Led Zeppelin IV had only come out 7 years earlier before the concert. Just think about that. I mean, half the socks in my dresser are older than 7 years. The point is, no one was sick of Stairway to Heaven yet. In the 1970s, that song was still thought of as one of the greatest songs ever recorded. It may not have stood the test of time as well as many other Led Zeppelin classics, although that's a very arguable point. But be that as it may, just because of sheer overplay on the songs on the radio, in the 1970s, that song was huge. When Jimmy Page began playing the first four notes of that A minor chord introduction, the volume of that crowd's response probably was louder than when the Beatles first hit the stage at Shea Stadium in 64. It was deafening. A song that we had heard on the radio almost every day of our lives, that every garage band we ever knew played in every basement and teen party, that kids in coffee houses and just about everywhere there was live music was being played live by Led Zeppelin. I want to tell you something. Moses could have came down from those mountains and sat right next to me holding hands with Farrah Fawcett, and I would have paid no attention to them. It was a monumental moment in time when Robert Plant began screaming, and as we wind on down the road, what a song to end the concert with. After a long wait, the band came back for two encores, delivering amazing performances of two of their most popular songs. Oh, the opening notes of Whole Lotta Love brought the crowd back to a frenzy. Like Stairway to Heaven, this was another Led Zeppelin song that we pretty much listened to every day in the 1970s. I'm running out of adjectives to describe what it was like hearing those songs played by Led Zeppelin in 1977. The final song of the night was a roaring rendition of Rock and Roll. During that song, the arena turned the house lights all the way up. I never liked, you know, when they turn the house lights on at the end of a concert. It just kind of takes something away from the mystic aura of the band on stage. But that one night when they did it, it just seemed right. With the closing notes of Rock and Roll, Led Zeppelin was gone. The crowd was completely drained. My friend, Francis Dima, and I, we took the subway back to the Bronx, totally recognizing that what we had just seen was the greatest rock and roll concert of our lives. What we didn't realize was that it would probably be the last time we would ever see Led Zeppelin again. No one expected the breakup 3 years later due to the death of John Bonham. Now, I have seen hundreds of concerts in my life. All of us who grew up during the classic rock era of the 60s, 70s, and 80s, we all attended many shows. You know, tickets were cheap. You could afford to go to multiple shows. But three shows stand out forever for me. Springsteen in 1978 at the Garden, Prince in 1985 at the Nassau Coliseum, and of course, Led Zeppelin at Madison Square Garden, June 1977. Seeing Led Zeppelin on that warm, early summer night in New York defined the greatest concert I have ever experienced. It was on a level that I will never experience again. One of the highlights of my life. Thank you to my old friend, Francis Dima, for bringing me to that concert. It was just simply spectacular. My name is Brian Kajagian. I am the editor-in-chief of ClassicRockHistory.com. Thanks for listening all the way through the show. Come to our site. We got hundreds of interviews with great bands, Guns N' Roses, Black Sabbath, Moody Blues, just so many great people, you know, participating in our site as we celebrate classic rock music. And the coolest thing, man, is it's all free. No subscriptions, nothing. Just come to the site and be a part of it. Thanks for listening.